Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you we can come and worship you. I pray, Lord, you just speak with us this morning. Just anoint me with your spirit. I'll just speak nothing but things of the spirit and open each heart to receive. So we just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're in Daniel chapter 12, finishing up Daniel. Book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Be looking at Daniel verses 2 and 3. 12, 2 and 3. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. As we've been going through Daniel, which is, to say the least, is a fascinating book. I can honestly say I have learned a lot of things going through this. And it's just been very interesting, and all the, you know, the incredible, you know, accounts about the Daniel and the lion's den we got to see and all that, but even going in the depths of it. But as you hit into chapter 7 and go through, it goes into the end times and looking into the future. And of course, at that time in Daniel chapter 7, everything is future to Daniel, all right? So when he sees it, it's all future to him. And at this point in time, there's a lot of history, so we've looked back and seen the history that was future to him, and I have to say, just in one word, is stunning at the accuracy. Just stunning. And no matter what your theological persuasion or liberal or conservative, everybody will go, man, that's incredibly accurate. All the history is accurate. And then he prophesizes out into the future, and we assume, you got to believe, the past was accurate, the future is going to be accurate also. But it's accurate, obviously, that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. The accuracy is incredible to the names and stuff. It's just fascinating. So we've come through that. Now we hit Daniel chapter 12, and what it does in Daniel chapter 12 is kind of a recap. It does a recap of the end times things that we've looked at. So we're not going to go in detail over that again. I do want to touch on a couple of things it says before I bring out some points that are new to Daniel. We'll look at it at the very end. But I think, you know, to do it justice, I'm going to give a recap of what Daniel 12 actually does. And so as we have here in Daniel, at the end of Daniel, the last chapter of Daniel, we see Michael comes on the scene, the archangel Michael. So we see him come on the scene in this book, and that he is a part of this last 3.5 years that Daniel talks about. So we see the archangel Michael involved in that. And we also see again this appearance of this abomination of desolation. Okay, so you see these things. So I want to touch on that just so I can be faithful to close out Daniel in a proper way as far as the end times go. So in Daniel 12:1, and again, to set the context, Daniel is speaking from about 600 BC, and he's looking forward. He's looking forward. And so he makes this statement, and he's talking about the very end of the ages. And in Daniel 12:1, it says this: at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge over your people, Daniel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. This is the great tribulation. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book of life, which we see in other places in the book of Revelation. So everyone who's written in the book of life will be saved. Then it goes on to say about this future end times in Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that would be for a half a time. By the way, that's code for 3.5 years. Okay, we've seen this before. That's 3.5 years. And when the shattering of the power of the holy people, and we've talked about that, there's a shattering of the power of the holy people, those that know God. and all this will come to an end, and all things will be finished. So it's looking at this end time, shattering of the holy people, this last 3.5 years, this abomination of desolation, all this stuff is happening at the end of times. And again, it's important to see that Michael's there, okay? Michael's an archangel, so the angelic forces are all involved in this situation. And then it goes on in Daniel 12:11. It says, and from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, this is a Jewish burnt offering, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Okay, 3.5 years again. Now, if anybody wants to look at the detail about that, we have been, how many months have we been in Daniel? All right. This is just caps, you know, this is just a summary. We've looked at all these things before, and they are quite interesting. All right, we've spent some time with them and putting them in a different context. But again, in chapter 12, Daniel, there's just kind of a summary of what's happened at the end of the book. What I want to bring up in this summary that ties it together for all you Bible students who want to read through Daniel and come up through this that you can study on your own is what you really should do. And of course, all the messages are on the web, so you can look on the web. You could just spend your whole life in Daniel if you want to. Okay, but here we have two points of the end times that are very distinct here in chapter 12. Okay, they've been brought, we've seen them before, but they're very distinct here in chapter 12. And one is the 3.5 years. It keeps popping up, this 3.5 years. And it's a reign of terror, a reign of terror by the Antichrist. So all that's connected. 3.5 years, a reign of terror, terrible tribulation by the Antichrist. And we see this in Daniel 7:25, Daniel 9:27, here in 12:7, and in 12:11, and then we see it again in Revelations 13:5. There's repetition, okay? So it's here. Stuff you need to pay attention with if you're looking at the end of times. Then you have this abomination of desolation, which nobody's quite sure what it is, but it's something that is abomination to God. That's why it's an abomination. This abomination to God has to do with Jerusalem and the temple. So this abomination of desolation, it's mentioned here in Daniel in 8:13, 9:27, 11:31. Here in 12:11, Matthew 24:15, and Mark 13:14. Again, God must think it's important because he's mentioned it in a bunch of places. So it is there. It's all through the scripture. So you see these things happening when the culmination of all of the end times, God is telling us there are certain things going to happen, and you're going to be able to pay attention. You're going to understand it's coming. And also, when they asked the Apostle Paul, just a reminder, the Thessalonians asked the Apostle Paul, and they thought, hey, we've missed the return of Jesus. Okay, so whatever their teaching was, he had to go back and say, well, you hadn't missed anything. But he makes a comment. He says, no, the time of Christ coming back will not come back until the man of lawlessness appears. So it's the Antichrist. He goes, no, this guy's going to show up. And you're going to know. Okay, he's a bad guy. He's a bad guy. So anyway, it puts this picture, ties all this stuff together, that there's a future time when Jesus comes back and there's a judgment on the world. There is an accounting that takes place. There is accounting that takes place. Now, this, what we have here is we look at these three, we have these three points of destruction where these things are brought out. Okay? All three of these things are focused on. The first point of destruction, okay, and it's all centered around Israel, God's people at the time. This point, first point of destruction, okay, is in 167 BC, all right? And it's Antiochus Epiphany, all right? We know who this guy is, Antiochus Epiphany. If you read about him and then you can share with your kids and they know who he is and you can scare them to death, okay? He's a bad fella. We know who he is, all right? There, and historically, you can look this guy up. All right? So that was one point of destruction in Jerusalem, the temple, and he set up an idol to Zeus in the temple of God. Okay? So we have a picture. He's a type. But then we have another, and this is all future to Daniel. But then we have another guy show up in 70 AD. And this is Titus. a Roman commander in Titus, and he levels Jerusalem. Basically levels. It's a horrendous slaughter there. And estimates go as many as 3 million people could have been killed at this, because it was at the feast time. So in 70 AD, so he levels it, and it is leveled to this day. Okay, the temple's not rebuilt or anything. So that's two. But there is a third one. There is a future. There's a future end time that Daniel talks about. And it's all, we see all this here in Daniel. So what you have with Antiochus and what you have in Titus are what you call types. Says this is a picture of a terrible time, and we had another picture of a terrible time, but we're going to have a future when it's worse, when it's worse. And here's a prophetic thing when you're looking at the Bible, and which it gets confusing when you're looking at prophecy, and it's called the mountaintop things, when mountaintop prophecies. Because when these guys prophesied, what they would do, they would prophesy based on the mountaintops of significant things that happened. All right, they'd say, this will happen, and this would happen. All right, but what would happen when you look down the mountaintops, they kind of look level. But when you stand sideways to the mountains, there's big valleys in between. So there's gaps in time. So what Daniel did, he was behind it, and he could see the mountaintops, and so he had prophesied these things almost like they were the same event. You go boom, boom, boom. But when you examine them, they say, well, no, there's some differences there. So historically, now we get, and we look back, we say, oh my gosh, there's some big valleys in between. And right now, we're in a valley between when the last coming of Christ is. So, a little information to help you understand kind of the difficulty in looking at the Old Testament. Now, here's a point you can write down, all right? Make a note in your Bible, your iPad, put in your hip pocket about any of these things and any of these desolations or these prophetic points, which each event, Antiochus Epiphany with Titus and the future event, there is a growing intensity, all right, which each event, it gets more intense, until the last time, which is the ultimate judgment of the world, it is extremely intense. So you say, man, that's terrible what Antiochus did. It was worse what Titus did. And it is going to be horrendous what the Antichrist does. Okay, so we know that. So God's telling us. So God's telling us those things. All right, so a little recap. One more point. Okay, you're going to love this one. Okay, I just have to say it because someone would ask. There's one more note here in Daniel chapter 12, and it's in verse 12. 12, 12. And right at the end, what he presents here is he adds 45 days to these prophecies. All right? We have the last 3.5 years. But right at the end, he uses this. And at 1,335 days, he's going to do this. You're going, there's 45 more days he throws in there. Okay? And it's just one line with those days. And you go, what in the world he's doing? So I want to encourage you to go ahead. I don't have a clue what it means. All right? So you can go ahead and look and study and try to figure this out. I will give you a little tidbit. Nobody agrees about this. Okay? You just look it up. They don't agree. Okay? You can go, your theologians, and put, they don't agree. Some of the thoughts are that this 45 days is like a transition period from when Christ comes back and destroys the world until he actually sets up his earthly kingdom. And so he's got this kind of 45-day transition period. Maybe. So anyway, but that's, so when you say, I don't understand what that is, you can look up all these different people. I'm just telling you in advance, they don't know either. Okay, but you can knock yourself out. So here we have, this picture. Now with this, so you have all this presentation, and again, this end times thing, again, when we look back historically, the stunning part of it is the accuracy. Just stunning. So when we look to the future, we're going to go, that's probably accurate too. Accurate too. But at this time, here's what God says to Daniel. After he's given him this information, look at the closing words that God gives Daniel about the end times. Daniel 12:4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Okay, knowledge will increase. Anybody got your iPhone? Hold it up. Knowledge will increase. you know, this iPad, you know, it's like knowledge is going to increase. Now, Daniel chapter 12, verse 9. He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed till the end of time." Now, what that tells me, he told Daniel, and all through this whole thing, if you go through the book of Daniel, you read what Daniel says, all through it, Daniel goes, "I don't understand." He goes, "I don't know. Explain to me." So it explains to Daniel some of it. And so here at the end times, Daniel, "I don't understand." And God basically says, "You got all you're going to get. Shut the book up until the end of times." And at the end of times, it's going to be clear. Just like we stand back and we look back through history and we see the things that Daniel prophesied that have already happened, we go, "Oh my gosh, that's incredible." Well, there's going to be a point at the end of times where people are going to go, "Oh my gosh, that's what's happening. I see what's happening." Maybe it's when it gets very close, you'll see it's happening. Or if there's a quick rapturing of the church that people look at this, "Oh my gosh," maybe you're in it, you will see it. But at the end of time, it is going to become very clear. And that's what he told Daniel. I said, "Daniel, no." And then he goes on at the last verse. He said, "Daniel, you'll just be taken up to our people. You know, there's a place for you. But just shut the book for now." So, but we have since Daniel, we've had continuing revelation, like we have the book of Revelations. So we do have more revelation that's built on the book of Daniel. And here's a little another gold nugget. If you want to study the end times, you start in Daniel. You don't start in Revelations, you start in Daniel. Revelation is built on the foundation of Daniel. So Revelation will make a lot of sense, more sense when you look at Daniel. Now, also about Revelation, unless I get a direct word from God, I am not going to teach through Revelations. I mean, if the Lord speaks to me directly, I will be obedient and strong. But I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. However, several people said they really would like to know. It builds off Daniel. So starting Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, but next week, I'm going to spend about 5 weeks just in the discussion of Daniel at my house with 7:30, whoever wants to come. And if you don't come, that's fine. I'll have a cup of coffee and watch the show. But if you want to come at 7:30, we'll talk about Revelations. We'll just have a discussion about it because there's a lot of people said, several people said they're interested. So anyway, this is the announcement. This is the announcement, the last announcement. It will not be in the bulletin. Okay, week from Wednesday, 7:30. Come over at our house. You can have a cup of coffee, glass of water, and we can talk about Revelations for the next 4 or 5 weeks. Okay? You got it? 7:30 Wednesday. All right. Now, here we are. So we've got this. We look at all this information. Now we're in the same place as Daniel is, really. Because God has revealed a bunch of information. And what he's asked us to do is to trust God on what he's shown us. He says, "You believe what I've shown you. You trust me for what I've shown you. Also, trust me to fill in the gaps." See, that's the thing. We're to walk in faith, and we look at past, say, "Look what I've told you. That shows, trust me. Now, as you move forward, I'm going to fill in the gaps, and you trust me while I'm filling in the gaps." Kind of sounds like our Christian walk and everything about us, right? Trust me what I've shown you, but in your life, move forward as I fill in the gaps, and I will fill in the gaps. Now, so here we are with the summary. What I want to do now is look at a couple of verses here that are new revelations. They're new revelations for Daniel. They're new revelations for Daniel. Now, in the New Testament, well, these aren't new revelations, but they are new for Daniel. And so we want to look at that and see what the Lord will show us. Because here in chapter 12, talking about the end times, he's talking to Daniel, and he makes this comment, which I think is just fascinating. And he tells Daniel, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Now, this is to us right now. This is specifically. This is not part of the recap, and this is not part of guessing, you know, at the end of times when Jesus is going to come back. Here's a specific word to us that is very clear and we need to hold on to. And he says in Daniel 12, verse 2, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's a resurrection. Daniel, there is a resurrection. Yes, Jesus is coming back. Yes, he's going to judge the world. But there is a judgment. There is a resurrection of the good and the bad. And so he's making it very clear there. So we should take this to heart. We should take it to heart, because as he's showing Daniel all this, he's saying, Daniel, I want you to know, there is a resurrection. You know, there's an end times, but everybody along the way, there's a resurrection. There is an accounting. And there is a point of judgment for us when God will judge us, when God will judge us on how we have carried out our assignment. Now, I want you to pay attention how I stated that, okay? God's going to judge us based on how we have carried out our assignment. Now, typical, you can have a, you know, repent, be good, or you're going to hell. God will judge you. All right, that, you know, that preaches good. You know, you can break, have people break out in a cold sweat and, you know, threaten them with hell, you know, if they're not good enough. But that's not what this is saying. It is not what it's saying. And it's basically saying there is going to be a resurrection, and there's going to be an accounting, but the accounting is going to be based on your assignment. You know, I really think, and you've heard me say this before, I really think being good is way, way overrated. I mean, I really do, all right? I mean, if you be good, you'll go to heaven. The Bible specifically tells us if we're good, has nothing to go with to do with going to heaven. And in fact, it tells you good people without Jesus go to hell. I mean, it's not about being good. It's just not about being good. I mean, it's kind of a residual, you know? It's kind of residual. You love Jesus, and maybe you behave better, but it's the loving Jesus and the being forgiven through him that we have in heaven. It's not being good. And when we look here, it's talking to Daniel. It is not about being good. There's another dynamic that's going on with our relationship with Christ that transforms us, and that transforms our behavior, and then that determines our state and our position before the Lord. And what we see here, it is our assignment. It is our assignment in carrying out the assignment that God has given us. Now, so let's look here, and we have in 12:3, an indication. Again, you have what you have in Daniel. Daniel gives us a picture, and we have a greater fulfillment, what, in the New Testament. So here what we have, the picture in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And those who are wise, now so he's talking about the saints that have come awake. These are the ones that have awake to everlasting eternal life or to everlasting contempt. And those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So what we have here is the wise will shine in brightness. The wise. It's funny when you look in Proverbs, you look through Scripture, who are the wise? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Who are the wise? It says you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, you have a home in heaven. I use this all the time. If you're standing before the Lord right now and he says, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? I've been good, you know. I've sat through Wallace's hour and a half sermon. So let me in. You know, you say, no, you're standing before the Lord. Why should I let you? You go, I'm forgiven. That's wise. That's the wise. The wise, those that have understood Christ and accepted him, understand the revelation of God, those are the ones that will shine the brightness of the sky above. But then it goes on and says this, and those who turn many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. What's our assignment? What's our assignment? Man, be good? Be good? No, our assignment is to turn many to righteousness. We have the message of Christ. We have the full revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ. The full revelations of forgiveness. The full revelation of that Jesus is the Son of God and that we are forgiven. And the one avenue to be before the Lord is that to know we are forgiven. That's it, okay? And as we share that and people turn to Christ, it says we will shine like stars forever because we carried that message. That is the criteria right here in to shine like stars forever, is that we have shared the Lord Jesus Christ with others and they have turned to Him. That's why we shine forever. I think that's significant. That's extremely significant. And so our assignment, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, is to be able to share the love of Christ, that people can receive the love of Christ and they will turn to Christ. And it's through Christ we are righteous. The only righteousness we have is Christ. My favorite verse, He who knew no sin became sin that we might be righteousness of Christ. You turn many to righteousness. Receive Christ and you become the righteousness of Christ. He took the penalty for our sins. He took our sins. He became sin and we receive His righteousness. And it says we become the righteousness of Christ. And right here it says, those that share that and people turn to righteousness will shine like stars forever and ever. It's an eternal mission. It's an eternal assignment. Whatever we are doing, from raising your kids to being nice to your wife to working in whatever you're working at to carrying whatever your ministry is, it's secondary to sharing Christ with other people. Sharing Christ with other people is your assignment and what you're supposed to do. The residual and the things around you is doing all these other things. But you always have within that, you want to share the love of Christ. And so God scatters us all over the place, gives us a bunch of kids so that we can share Christ. We can share Christ. God's people said, amen. It makes it so much simpler, okay? And it's just, there's just too many things to remember to be good. I mean, it is too much stuff to remember. I mean, you're just like, oh, well, and what some people think's good and what other people think's good, a behavior like that, you just get all fouled up. And God says, don't worry about it. You share me, you love me, and all the rest of it kind of falls into place. Don't get the cart before the horse. Here's your focus. And it's right here in Daniel. It's right here in Daniel. Really comes clear in the New Testament. So when Jesus comes along, that, you know, he just sees fit to reestablish and fulfill the scripture by calling himself the fulfillment of the scripture. You know, it's like, have all this sacrificial system. What are you going to do with this Jewish sacrificial system? Jesus goes, I am sacrificed. Over. It is ended. It just ended. The whole thing in it. Because he is the fulfillment. He is the fulfillment. And through him we have righteousness. Not the sacrifice. Him. And it all funnels down into the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what's important here is we look at Daniel. Daniel and the other prophets in the Old Testament, they had all this stuff. But then they had to laser in on the Messiah. It was the fulfillment. It all comes to lasering in to the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus clarifies the Old Testament. He clarifies it, and he clarifies the New Testament. He clarifies our life, right? So, Jesus said to the disciples in Mark 1:17 and other places, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I'll make you good. You know? Now, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men, where you can turn people to righteousness by introducing them to Christ. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then it goes on to say in Mark 2, Mark chapter 8, verse 38 says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The whole thing. Don't be ashamed of me. The point. No, I am the fulfillment of everything. Through me, people receive the righteousness. And you're going to, don't be ashamed of me in this world, okay? You're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Now, I don't know what all that means, okay? But it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good. And it's not like, oh man, I'm going to be good. I messed up. I did this and God's ashamed of me. He goes, no, I'm ashamed of you when you're ashamed of me. When you're ashamed of me. When you're ashamed to say my name. When you're ashamed to share my word. When you're ashamed to say you love me. Then I'm ashamed of you. See, that's the point. It's relational. It's very relational. It's not what we're doing. It's relational in our attitudes towards Him. And again, I go back to things, and we've shared this stuff before and talked about it. And I was about to watch the news and stuff, and just, if you're like me, you watch it and just get totally irritated, So I just want to stay irritated, so I watch like everything. Okay. When you talk about your faith, it's, just keep it yourself. Don't say anything. I mean, it is so counter to Scripture. It's so counter to this verse. They're saying, no, be ashamed of Christ. I don't want to hear it. They say, no, you say it. And just say who you are. Don't condemn them. Just say who you are. See, that's the point. That's the whole thing about this, is saying who you are. No, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He paid the penalty for my sins. I believe I have a home in heaven. I'm just saying what I believe. Just telling you what I believe. Now, you go on, and the Apostle Paul, when he talks to Timothy, his disciple, in 2 Timothy 4:5, he says this. He says, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of evangelist. Share your faith. Share your faith. Fulfill your ministry. To fulfill your ministry, you do the work of an evangelist. What does that mean? You say, I love Jesus. It is who you are, and being able to share with others. And two, a motivation. When I look at this and I think about myself, as we look at the things around us and think about it, it's our perspective of the future and our perspective of this world that really will motivate us to say something or not say something. For instance, if this is our home and we're making our home and we want to make it as comfortable as possible, we're motivated in a certain way. If we have a job and our job and we are motivated by our job, our purpose is in our job, and therefore everything is dictates how well we want to do on the job, there's a certain motivation. However, if we are motivated that we have a home in heaven and our purpose is to please God, then our motivation is different. We'll do a good job, but our motivation is different. Our activities and our behavior is different. And see, this is not our home. This is not our home. I love this, what it says in Revelations 21:22. And here we have, a picture like, oh my gosh, there's something bigger than me. There's something bigger than Ashburn. There's something bigger than D.C. Thank Jesus. There's something bigger than this world. In Revelations 21:22, and I saw no temple in the city. So he has this vision, heavenly vision. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. God and the Lamb are the temple. I mean, it's like, oh my, they are the temple. Then it says, and the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light. And its lamp is the Lamb of God. By its light will the nations walk. The kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter in it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false. But only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. There's the book again. Only those who are written in the book. Now, again, it's important to think, how do we get written in the book? Okay? How do we get written? How many check marks by our name? All right? It's like, Wallace, why should I let you into heaven? I go, I'm forgiven. Just, all right? And we can talk about the rest of it. But I'm in. Okay, I'm in. I'll take what I can get. But I'm in because I'm forgiven. That's how you get in the book. That's it. That's it. How you get in the book. And that's what's saying. And you shine like stars. You shine like stars because you've shared and turned others to Christ. That's the assignment. That's the assignment. That's the assignment. Now, are there other residual things? Yes. You know, yes. You know. And did Jesus, was Jesus good? Was Jesus good because he had the law? Or was Jesus good because he was God? Think about it. Well, no, I'm glad Jesus had the law, because it said, thou shalt not kill. And if Jesus hadn't had the law, he'd killed us. That wouldn't happen, would it? No, he wouldn't kill us whether he had the law or not, because that's not what you do. That's not what God does. The law is for us, because we don't know any better. See, it's for those that don't have Christ. But when we have Christ and we love him, then we don't want to kill somebody. How about, says, you know, just pick somebody out. Says, you know, I'd kill you, but I have the law, so I'm not going to. How good do you feel? What if I say, I don't want to kill you? I really don't. Why? Because there's a transforming that takes place. You see, the focus is so different. See? And you share people with the love of Christ that transforms. But that's not what you focus on. You focus on that you love God, and that transforms you. And then because of that love and what he's done for you, you share with others that they can come to that righteousness, and then you shine like stars forever. I really think it's pretty simple. Really pretty simple. Therefore, when you have that view, when you have that view and you have that thinking, then as the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, as it closes out, it says this, and it makes perfect sense. It summarizes the all of the Bible in a way. It really summarizes it. In Revelation 22:17, it says this, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now that's really, the bride is the bride of Christ. So it is the church. It's the bride of Christ. That's what, all through the Bible, that's what the bride is. So when it says the bride says, come, the church is saying, come. And the Spirit, where's the Spirit? In us. It's in us, right? So the Spirit and the bride, or the Spirit through the bride, says, come. Come, turn many to righteousness. We're going to shine like stars as you come. But to the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. You know, it's supposed to happen again. As you share it and they come and experience the righteousness of Christ, then they say, come. And it goes back to what Jesus said. Come, and I'll make you fishers of men. And then they'll say, come. That's the assignment. Just keep it simple. Just keep it simple. And this is, Lord said, this is all important here. And it says, and let the one who is thirsty come, and the one who desires to take the water without price. Because when you say come, those that are thirsty will come, and those that are not thirsty will not come. I am just stunned. I am stunned about just talking and sharing with people over the years. And it's like you can just drop a little bit if they're forgiven in Christ, and they'll come and just drink it down and transform before your eyes. You know, and you can spend years with people and he never changed one iota. Will not change. You know, they don't, they get it. They're not thirsty. They're not thirsty. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is the one that moves and changes. We're required to say, come, but the Holy Spirit is the one who touches and changes people. They need to be introduced to Jesus and the Holy Spirit for a transforming work to take place. But we just to say, come, and kind of watch. Pay attention. Because what? God is working on his people. He's working on his people. And this all echoes the words of Jesus in 7:37. Jesus stood up and cried, says, if anybody thirsts, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Anybody thirsty, come drink. Come and drink. All right. So now you just kind of summarize the whole thing. And when you put it all together, and I'm just going to wrap the whole thing up right here. And you look at Daniel. You look at the, and by the way, I'll repeat, I thought Daniel's a fun book. I mean, there's stuff I learned for the first time. I looked at, oh my gosh, how this is put together. And it was fascinating. And you look at the majesty of God and you read through that and you can study it. And it is so powerful. It is so powerful. But really, it comes to the point where it's like, what makes the difference? What makes the difference is that I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven. And then I carry that same message. That's really where it's all at. The rest of it's kind of cream and fun, and we can grow in it and get excited about it. But the message is that we are forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're empowered through the Holy Spirit. And so we want to focus on that, and I think that's a great place to end Daniel here. So as we think about it, and I'm going to wrap things up with it with right here, is that we know we have a home in heaven because Jesus is our Savior. We know that. And we also know through Daniel that there is an end coming. There's an end coming, and it describes it as the wrath of God. Wrath of God. It's destruction, hellfire, that will eradicate all evil. Okay, we know that's coming. So what does that tell us? It just gives us a sense of urgency, a sense of urgency that we share the love of God with others. That's all it is. We have an urgency to share God's love. God's love. And you just come down. And also, God tells us, so I don't think it's selfish for us to look at it this way. When we have that urgency and we share the love of Christ and we are able to put in to people to come to know Christ, he says, you're going to shine like stars. I think he told us that for a reason, that's good. I want you to shine like stars, and don't feel bad about sharing it. So, hey, I want to shine like a star. You know? And it's like, what? Share the love of Christ. And you'll shine like stars for eternity. For eternity. And again, we come down to the simplicity of the message. And it's worth hearing it. Just hearing it within the light of Daniel. It's John 3:16 and 17. And just listen to the words. Just listen to the words. For God so loved the world. He knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. But he loved the world so much he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I don't want you to perish. I want you to shine like stars. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. He didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Oh, I want you to shine like stars, and you share others, and you'll shine like stars, and then they will receive and share and shine like stars. And all God's people said, amen. Well, we come up, the group will close with a worship song here and just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for what the scriptures say and what they teach us about as we look in Daniel and we look at end times, the thing it just ends up is that you love us and that we are to receive you and we're to share the love of Christ. And I just thank you, Lord, for that. And I thank you that that is the message. And I thank you that you tell us so many other things to direct our lives, and we give you thanks for that. So we lift all things up to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.